Case number 14-5032, Barbara Fineman, appellant, Garrett M. Graff versus Federal Bureau of Investigation et al. Mr. Moss for the appellant, Mr. Chemischein for the appellees.
Exactly. About workability.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court, Bradley P. Moss for the appellant, Barbara Fineman. With me at counsel table is my co-counsel, Mark Zaid. We're here before you on de novo review of a Rule 12b1 motion to dismiss for lack of subject matter jurisdiction for lack of standing for Ms. Fineman, as well as two issues that the appellee has brought up on appeal, that of mootness and that of whether or not the anti-assignment laws apply to FOIA. If, with the Circuit's permission, I'd like to address mootness first. Freedom of Information Act broadly states that a reasonably described request for records that's properly submitted to an agency shall be processed, subject to applicable exemptions and fees. In this case, in seeking to dismiss this appeal as moot, the appellee has sought to add an additional caveat. Once you've had a single bite at the apple, never again should you have a second. The appellee's position, unfortunately, is flawed both factually.
What is your position? I'm trying to figure out what it is you want here. So imagine we agree with you that there was standing, standing, and more importantly, that you were able to make the assignment. What happens next in the litigation?
It would be remanded back to the district court. It would be probably a motion for summary judgment on whether or not the assignment itself was valid.
No, let's assume the assignment was valid. Then what happens?
Then it gets remanded actually back to the agency for administrative processing. It would be processed by the agency.
Well, what does this have to do? The agency didn't refuse to process on the ground of improper assignment, did it?
No.
You never presented that to the agency.
No, I respectfully disagree, Your Honor. We submitted, both Ms. Fineman submitted letters from Ms. Catherine Byrne,
yes,
signing the request,
yes,
to her, and the one she, Ms. Fineman, signed accepting the request.
But those were after the litigation began or before?
That was before the litigation began.
And did the agency say, no, we're not going to process this because we don't recognize the assignment?
The agency did not respond one way or the other.
I understand that if the agency had said, we won't go any further because we don't recognize assignments, then that would be something to argue in court. But that's not what happened. The agency said to the two different people, both Fineman and in different ways, not unless there's a death, and okay, there's a death, and there's no, we don't have anything. But the agency never said, we're not going to process this because you have no assignment. So I don't understand what happens here next.
There's, just
you have an argument that, assume that Fineman has the standing of Bernie, is that
Byrne.
Byrne. Assume that she does. So what happens next? I just don't follow.
She'd be allowed to process this request through to fruition beyond what she had done in her own separate request.
Well, but that is something that happens outside of litigation. This is not a, it doesn't seem to me that you're appealing the right thing here. The agency did not refuse to process on the ground of lack of assignment. The agency said, to Fineman, the agency said, we don't have any documents, right? That's what she said.
That was in Fineman's separate request.
I understand. And to Byrne, they said, show us that he's dead, and then we'll do it, right? So you could appeal in the court and say, well, that's an improper question because the government's not allowed to resist FOIA on that ground. But you're not making that argument. So I'm still a little puzzled by why we're here.
Sure. Let me clarify. Because of what happened in the intervening time between this litigation being initiated, Ms. Fineman submitting her separate identical request in which the FBI now understands that the individual is deceased,
yeah,
if it were remanded, it would be allowed to be processed the way it should have been, even if it was still with Ms. Byrne. As opposed
but now
to
you're asking for an advisory opinion on the question of assignability, which should begin by bringing the case to the agency. What normally happens in litigation is you go to the agency says no because of X. You don't come to the court and say, I want a declaratory judgment that X is not going to be a good answer if the agency happens to give it to me. That's not the way it works, because that's an advisory opinion.
Correct, and I understand, Your Honor. When we filed suit, it was not based on the idea that we thought they had denied the assignment. We had no idea if they'd accepted or denied it.
Yeah, exactly.
We had filed suit for constructive exhaustion of administrative remedies. More than 20 days had passed. It's well-established case law.
Yeah, but what were you seeking?
Processing of the request?
Well, they did process the request.
Only in Feynman's separate one. They never processed it in this
so
one.
So all you want is a processing of the request for information about this guy. Is that
correct,
right?
Your Honor.
And they've already done that.
Only for one level.
I understand. Only for what?
Only for the initial administrative level.
Yeah, but it's the same. You say in your brief, it's the same, right?
The information is the same. The
you want an appeal. Is that what you're saying? You want an administrative appeal.
You think
appeal.
It was an inadequate search, right?
It was correct. We
I mean, that's ultimately what this is about, I
absolutely
think.
Right.
But are you going to make that argument here, or is your idea that you get to go back to the agency for an appeal?
That would go back to the agency for the appeal, but we would not be able to do that on behalf of Ms. Feynman absent.
Well, we don't know that. You didn't try. You didn't go back to the agency and say, we'd now like to make an administrative appeal, and then the agency said, no, we're not going to allow you to do an administrative appeal because you're out of time. That didn't happen. Once again, you're assuming what the agency will do.
I'm slightly confused by your question there, Honor. The case was already in litigation. There was no opportunity to go back.
You didn't have to go into litigation. You could have started by asking the agency to appeal. In fact, why didn't it assume for the moment that we accept the assignment? Why didn't Byrne ask the agency to appeal? Why didn't she?
I can't speak for her, given that she's not here. But
no, but she is now. It's her assignment, right? So you stand in her shoes, correct?
Correct.
All right. She wasn't given notice, right?
No, I mean.
Okay, so that means she has the right to go to the agency and say, I want to appeal. If the agency said no, time's expired, you would have a very good case because they never told you. But the agency didn't say that. So why wasn't it the obligation, regardless of whose shoes you're standing in, to begin by making an administrative appeal? We've said that the whole point of exhaustion is to create a record that we can deal with. We can't even create a record about the question that Judge Kavanaugh asked, which I agree is your underlying point, whether the search was good enough, until you make an administrative appeal and they explain what they did. But why didn't you do that?
The reason that was not done at this point, by Ms. Byrne,
yeah,
is at the time, the FBI's response letter was actually legally insufficient and was later changed in the course of this district court litigation. It only would indicate you had to provide proof of death.
No, but you knew that at the time you filed a lawsuit on behalf of Feynman standing in the shoes of Byrne, right?
Mm-hmm.
At that time, you knew that the government had failed to advise on time, because you say that of the right to administrative appeal. You say that in your complaint, right?
Correct.
So why isn't the right thing to have done is to have gone, before filing a lawsuit on behalf of Feynman in the shoes of Byrne, for Feynman in the shoes of Byrne to go to the agency and say, or for Byrne in her own shoes, going to the agency and saying, I would now like to appeal. And then the agency would say, well, time's up. And Byrne would say, well, no, it's not, because you didn't tell us. And if the agency said, well, we don't care, then you would have a lawsuit.
The reason that was not done, Your Honor, was because the policy the FBI was employing was itself legally flawed. They were not providing the third option that the district court has since required them to include in their response letters, which was that in addition to a privacy waiver or proof of death, that the requester be allowed to provide an overriding public interest in why the record
should
be
disclosed. Well, but you could have appealed. That's the purpose of administrative appeal.
Correct, but that was not even referenced in the response letter. So the complaint, in addition to the specific requests at issue, was also a broader, at least at the time, planned as a class action to challenge this policy. The policy was modified by the agency in the course of the district court litigation. But that's why, at the time, the administrative appeal was not submitted because we were challenging the policy as a whole.
I know, but the question, you still have to set up a lawsuit. You can't just assume what's going to happen by the agency. And so I don't see why the right answer here isn't either Byrne or Fineman or both go back to the agency and ask for an appeal. And maybe the agency will allow Fineman to have the appeal because they've already done the search and there's no point anymore. Or maybe they will allow Byrne to because they have to because they didn't give her notice on time. Either one of which would create a record for us as to the ultimate question, which is whether or not they did a sufficient search. And then we would have a regular, ordinary, everyday FOIA case instead of a case that seems to be burning up an awful lot of time on a relatively obscure question about assignment law. What would be the harm of dismissing the case? I mean, well, and having you make those requests and having them either decide or not, because what you want to do is remand to them anyway, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
You want an order back to the agency, a remand back to the agency.
Correct, Your Honor.
What does the remand order say?
Remand order would reverse the district court's opinion as a matter of law.
Right, and direct it to remand back to the agency for...
Direct it to remand back to the agency to determine whether or not the assignment is valid.
But why is that necessary? Fineman has her own claim, so what's the difference? The documents you want are the same, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
Absolutely the same, identical, that's the words you used.
Correct, Your Honor.
So what's the difference if they just process Fineman's?
Respectfully, I don't believe it's necessary for us to prove a difference in the sense of the statutory entitlement is the same, regardless of whether or not Fineman does it herself or if it's done through the course of this litigation.
So let me just ask you this. If the agency, because I asked them to today, gave you every single document, you would say the case is not moot because I asked them to give you every document rather than you asked them to give you every document? Is that your point?
I'm not sure quite I understand your question.
Let's say after we leave here, I file a FOIA request for all the documents, right? They give me all the documents and they put them up on the website. Now, would you say the case is not moot because they didn't give it in response to your claim request?
Correct, Your Honor.
And on what theory?
On the theory that...
What's your injury?
That Fineman was not afforded the statutory right she was allowed.
She got all the documents she wanted.
But not in the course in which it was originally requested, which was by way of assignment.
Okay. Strikes me as a losing argument, so I hope you have another one.
Understood, Your Honor. See, my time is up.
May it please the Court, Robert Kamenschein with the Department of Justice, and with me at the council table is Leonard Scheitman, also with the Department of Justice.
Mr. Kamenschein, just so I know whether there is a very easy solution to this case, if this case were dismissed and either Fineman or Byrne separately or together were to ask for an appeal of the decision to... that there's no documents, would the FBI process the appeal?
Your Honor, I'm not sure I can give that a definitive answer. I mean, it's certainly a possibility.
Well, if you gave that definitive answer, the case would be moot, at least in my view. If you don't, we may decide against you on the question of assignability.
Right, but I'm not in a position where I can give a definitive answer. I will say that in Byrne's case, the letter to Byrne did not flag administrative rights, although Byrne's letter itself referred to possibility of an administrative appeal. So there's that aspect. In Fineman's case,
I'm not following. What's that aspect? Since you didn't provide notice,
I'm saying that would give Byrne an argument. In terms of making that administrative appeal, now that there was never a notice, a proper notice of a right to administrative appeal, so that would be a plus in terms of her going forward with her administrative appeal. In Fineman's case, the response to Fineman did flag the opportunity for an administrative appeal. And the Feynman's brief says that it references some kind of miscommunication, but without any more information. So, you know, there's an ambiguity there as to what the circumstances were that Feynman is alluding to in terms of some kind of miscommunication.
Well, what if Feynman just filed a new FOIA request, got the same answer, guy's dead, and we don't have any documents, and then asked for an appeal? What would happen next? What would the FBI do?
It would go forward.
It would go forward. So you're not taking the position that they're precluded from making a new request?
No.
Okay.
And so, Your Honor, I don't want to take up too much of the Court's time unnecessarily, just to say that I think that this report really got it right when it became aware of Feynman's identical FOIA request and said, I'm not going to certify this to the Court of Appeals at that point, because Feynman could bring suit in her own name without any need for the Court to reach the question of assignment. Assignment is a significant issue. It's kind of esoteric. But the amicus brief here indicates our context in which assignment might, you know, have some real significance, but not here. And the district court also properly found that there was a lack of standing. We've also said it's
I'm very perplexed by the standing argument.
Okay.
So how does this relate to the Lexmark case? The Lexmark case says that statutory causes of action, statutory standing, is not a standing question at all. It's a question of cause of action. So the question here is, under FOIA, does an assignee have a cause of action?
I think Your Honor is correct on that, and certainly the district court's opinion verges over into really a discussion of the merits. The FOIA is geared totally toward a requester. It's silent on the question of assignment. Now, Feynman says, well, it's silent on that, therefore, we can construct it. She asks the court to create this. We say it's silent on this. It's geared toward the requester. And with that silence, there's no cause of action created.
So you agree it's a cause of action question. It's not.
Yeah,
it's not a
waiver of sovereign immunity. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Suppose the administrative appeals are out of time, and so if she went back to the agency and the agency said, sorry, you're out of time, let me finish the question, is this still moot?
I think it's moot because Ms. Feynman herself already got a substantive determination that there were no...
That sounds like race judicata more than mootness.
And so she's asking the court to adjudicate the validity of the assignment from Ms. Byrne to her. And
I think
the result of that would be that she just ultimately back where she was.
I'm not sure about this, but I think ultimately what their real-world complaint is that the search was not adequate. And given that the FBI said there were no documents, that their complaint, I think, is that the search was not adequate, and that's never been, they've never had a forum to seek that relief. So they're seeking, if they were seeking that in this litigation, how is it moot?
Well, I mean, Ms. Feynman had the opportunity to...
That sounds like race judicata, not mootness to me.
If
she procedurally defaulted, to use that term loosely here, in seeking an administrative appeal before, does that make the current attempt to seek relief that she procedurally defaulted from seeking before, does that make this moot?
I don't believe that she can effectively waive her right to administrative appeal in her own case. Mm-hmm. As a vehicle for going forward with a test of whether assignment...
Isn't the record is confusing as to whether that was deliberate or not, right?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
The record is unsettled, unclear, whether the not pursuing an administrative appeal was a deliberate choice or some sort of neglect.
You're right. You're right. Because she says there was some kind of miscommunication. Right. So we don't know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought I understood your response to a question from Judge Garland to be that if Ms. Feinman filed again a request for these documents and they were rejected on the same ground they've already been rejected, then she could appeal and move on through the process.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. Right. And so, I mean, if this is a case about which is what FOIA is about.
But the opportunity to file a new suit doesn't.
To get information.
Well, let me just finish. The opportunity to file a new suit doesn't make the current suit moot.
No, it wouldn't.
I'm not aware of any theory that suggests that.
Not strictly, no, it wouldn't.
But the consequence of them continuing with this suit is, as he said, only to send it back to the agency to do the same thing that they would otherwise do by making an outside request, right? It would
right.
be to appeal. It would be, first of all, they'd have to win the argument. In order for this to work, they would have to win the argument that they have a right to appeal. And so far, the agency has never turned them down on an appeal. Is that right?
That's correct.
The agency's never told them that they can't appeal.
No.
So there's nothing to adjudicate about whether they have a right to appeal right now, or is there?
No, Your Honor. The only interaction, there was interaction with Byrne in addressing her request. There was interaction with Feinman in addressing her request. And then the agency received a notice about this assignment having taken place. But at that juncture, there was nothing for the agency to do because the administrative end of this had already been completed.
So the agency has neither turned down the recognition of the assignment nor turned down an appeal by either of the two, people. Right?
That's correct.
Is the assignment statute, the anti-assignment statute, why wasn't that raised earlier?
Well, Your Honor, very candidly, and I think we pointed that out in our brief, where it is in the U.S. Code and the language of it seems to be pitched toward monetary claims. And so it was only upon further research, and in particular looking at this court's decision in the merits, that it became evident that the statute really had a broader scope. So I don't think, a matter of not looking in depth at the statute and the case law to see that the Anti-Assignment Act had relevance, and certainly it has relevance in terms of the arguments about whether a cause of action is created, because I think to trump that, it would have to be explicit in the FOIA.
Mm-hmm. Because it's against the government or because of
a claim against the government, correct.
Yeah.
And there are special laws that deal with that. So when you have special laws that deal with a topic, I think particularly it's problematic to then look at the statute that says nothing about the topic and try to imply something there. So at least the FOIA should say something about assignment. It's been around for 50 years. It's been amended numerous times.
Is that really a function? I'm having the same difficulty with the statute that you must have originally had. When I read the Gillis case, which is the Supreme Court's 1877 discussion of it, it's all about the right to bring a case in the court of claims for money. Mm-hmm. And the court very carefully chooses an action which are not commercial instruments, though assignable in equity in some cases, are not generally assignable at common law. And certainly the holder of a mere equitable right can have no standing as a plaintiff in the court of claims, which is what that case was about. Mm-hmm. And then it says the court of claims is without power to adjudicate upon merely equitable rights. And leaving aside their characterization of their FOIA claim is worth some money, somewhat extremely speculative how that could be other than maybe they get fees or something, which is not part of their claim.
Right.
This is a case in equity. And so at least Gillis thinks about the statute as being a statute of common law for money, right?
Right.
So I'd hate to have to rely on the statute
but
at
I
this
think,
point.
Remember that this court in Arix was not dealing at all with a claim for money. It was dealing with a case where the assignee was asserting the assigner's right to be able to get a lease from the government, and the government had leased the land to somebody else. And that was what that was about, and it was a constitutional claim there and an administrative law claim. It had nothing to do with a claim for money.
Well, they would get a lease back, right?
Well, they might, yeah. But the question was whether you could invalidate the lease that the government made so that the assignee there would be able to get a lease from the government. That's nothing to do with a monetary claim of a certain value, the kind of thing that the Court of Claims would be.
And so the government's asserting this statute now, though, when this issue arises in district court, or not? Is the government now asserting
yes,
this statute
are,
in district
are,
court?
And we think that, given the fact that that issue has been fully briefed.
No, I mean in district court proceedings. Maybe there's issues.
We have not asserted in any district court proceeding that I know of currently. Okay.
There aren't other cases pending. I mean, I know there's the National Security Counselor's case, but I don't
right.
think that.
Right. In that case, the court ruled that the claim could be assigned. It was a very different case. The CIA has processed that request. The CIA has a flat no assignment policy, which was up before the district court. So, no, that the anti-assignment law was not before that court at all. There are no other questions. So, thank you.
Sorry. Two quick points for Judge Garland. You had mentioned the question to counsel for the appellee of whether or not a right to administrative appeal had been denied or addressed at all. Mm-hmm. The original request letter from the FBI to Ms. Byrne did not reference any right to.
No, I understand
appeal.
That, but I think what so I'm just again having trouble understanding the difference between what would happen if we agree that you have standing and assignment, and what would happen if you just today, or frankly, if you had just a year ago, filed a new request on behalf of one or the other of them with the FBI, whether there's any difference at all for you. And as to what happens in the litigation, we can't adjudicate the question of whether you have a right to an administrative appeal, because no one has ever denied you a right to an administrative. They may not have informed you of the right, which gives you an argument about why you do have the right, but they haven't denied the right in any way. So the best that could happen would be not a ruling from the district court that you have a right to an appeal because you weren't told on time, but just a remand to the FBI to determine what their answer is. Isn't that right?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay. And similarly, if when you leave the building here today, you file a request on behalf of Fineman or Byrne or both for the same documents, the FBI has told you, in the person of its lawyer, that they will permit an appeal. So, yes, we could go through the entire process of writing an opinion in this case, maybe against you, but assume for the moment in your favor. I don't know, 3 months from now it comes out. We wait till the mandate issues. Many weeks later it goes to the district court. When the district court gets to it because it has a criminal case or something else first, it then just looks at the question before you. There's a debate, litigation, and ultimately it goes back to the agency to do exactly the same thing that you could do in 2 minutes by just asking for another request. What purpose is served by continuing to litigate this question when you have their agreement that they will process a new request by either of the two of you, or by either, not of the two of you, either of your two, of the two possible parties here, and allow an appeal, which would also give you an ability to see whether or not there was an adequate search or not?
Well, respectfully to counsel for the appellees, I don't know how to square their promise here today with the arguments they've just made in their briefs regarding mutinous.
Well, I think you can take it on faith, subject to a contempt citation against them for lying to the court.
Well, that's for the new request. They haven't said anything about the administrative. No, they haven't promised the administrative appeal.
You can file a new request, and if you lose, he said that you could then appeal that request, the new request.
This is a test case about assignment. That's what the issue is.
Correct. No, that's what I thought, right? That's all this is really about.
Correct. At this point, that's what this case, the only part of this case remains is a test case about assignment, Your Honor.
So, but in, I see, okay. All right. Well, I guess that's it.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. We'll take a brief break while the next...